I'm really glad we can be together. We had a 4 o'clock service, and this is one of my, it's just one of the highlights of the year for me. This is our 32nd Christmas Eve service that we've had at New Hope. We've been in all kind of places. And I guess part of the thing about Christmas is, and I was actually tearing up, I did both services for whatever reason, I teared up during some of the early songs. There are memories that I carry, not so much as a kid, I had some of those, but I remember the first Christmas once I became a follower of Jesus. And it was such a stark difference from anything I'd ever seen before. I was probably one of the most self-centered people I've ever met prior to that. I'm still struggling with it. And when Christmas came, the whole gift-giving thing, it had been before when I'd give gifts, I was either doing it because you just had to, and I would get the cheapest thing I could to put in a box and get credit for it. Nobody wanted a gift from me. And then when I became a follower of Christ, I started realizing I have a chance to show some concern and love for people. And I'd never done that before. I remember I bought a bunch of different things for different people. Wasn't concerned about what they thought. Well, I was concerned about one. Some friends of mine, they had the worst coffee-making machine I'd ever been around. I love coffee. I did not like their coffee at all. So I bought them a coffee pot, and to be real honest, full disclosure, it was really a gift for me, because I knew when I went over to their house, I just didn't want lousy coffee, and it ends up I married their daughter. Becky's mom, for the longest time, could tolerate lousy coffee. This is not even in my notes, but I'll tell you real quick. For years, she just drank terrible coffee. You would go to her house, and she'd make a pot of bad coffee, and then she'd say, "You want some more coffee?" And so she'd pour water in the thing, but never add or change the coffee ground. So it came out kind of tan. You could see right through it. She would come to our house, and I would grind beans, and she goes, "Wow, this is really good." But it never changed her mind about what she made at home, even though I had purchased her a really good coffee maker. That was a gift. It just didn't work out the way I'd hoped. But gift-giving is kind of like that, isn't it? I mean, you never know how it's going to work, and is it going to work? And the whole gift-giving thing is relatively new when it comes to Jesus, celebrating Jesus' birthday. In fact, they didn't celebrate his birthday for many, many years. No one even knew when he was born. We still don't know exactly when he was born. Mary and Joseph didn't do that. It was culturally, it was a different deal. Now, Easter overshadowed everything, and we've been celebrating Easter since the very first one, but Christmas, no big deal. Until years after the church had grown and it spread to Rome, and in Rome, they had all kind of festivals for all kind of different gods. One was called Saturnalia, and they would do a huge thing. It was kind of like a little bit like a Mardi Gras kind of thing. Everybody rolled out. They were worshiping all these gods and drinking and partying and all that kind of stuff. And the followers of Jesus said, "Well, I wonder if we could come up with an alternative." December 25, and though they came up with Christmas, we're just going to celebrate the birth of our God. And it ended up, it took off. And it was never retail-oriented like what we have now, but it did catch on, and it spread throughout Europe. And then it got out of control. Some of you have heard the term wassailing. Here we go, wassailing. It's a weird word. It's even a weirder practice, because what would happen is they'd get groups of people, they'd go all around the neighborhood, they'd be drinking a lot, and they got to where gangs would go to people's houses, they'd knock on your door and said, "You either give us some food or some more drink, or we're gonna ransack your house." That was Christmas. Merry Christmas. It wasn't the caroling like we're used to. This was a weird deal. And so in 1647, they made it illegal to celebrate Christmas in Europe because it had gotten so crazy. If you celebrated Christmas, you had to go underground. It was against the law. And then you fast forward a while back, and then when we had the colonies here, they reinstituted a type of Christmas that was in Christmas in the early colonies and early part of our country was just very quiet. You might go to someone's house, you might have a worship service, you might have some meals, but there wasn't any gift giving. That happened later on, and we owe that to Sears and Roebuck and several retailers. They thought, we can make some money on this. If we can talk people into having to buy gifts. And you know, there's a holiday, I think almost every day of the year, there is a it's celebrating something. And because marketers know that we'll get all nostalgia, oh, I need to buy someone a car, or, I got to go to Old Navy, I got to buy him something. And so right around 1900, the kind of Christmas we're used to now with all this gift giving became huge. In fact, they changed when we celebrate, in the United States, they changed when we celebrate Thanksgiving to make it a longer holiday for shopping for Christmas. It didn't have a lot to do with Jesus. It had a lot to do with the bottom line. Black Friday, that's when businesses typically were going to show a profit finally, and they wanted to get as much profit as they could from you. And they've done a great job, by the way. Starting in February, you got to hurry up and get your Christmas stuff because it's going to sell out quick. But the whole gift-giving thing, when it was in the United States, it started off really minimally, like I might get Dan a gift. But it'd just be a small token. It was nothing like the fancy stuff we see now. And the idea of gift giving went back to, God was the greatest gift giver. And so the roots of it are there. We've just, as we typically do in the United States, we've kind of gone overboard with it. And I love Christmas. I love giving presents and all this kind of stuff. I think it's, even though it's a bit out of control, I love the idea that we can talk. We're singing these hymns, some of these you've heard at Target. I mean, they're songs with great lyrics to them, and we still get to talk about our Savior. And some countries you can't do that. Some countries you get arrested or worse if you bring up anything about Christ. So need to be grateful. And I've wondered as I was thinking about this, I was wondering, what if God had done a survey around the time Jesus was born, but didn't tell anybody he was coming. But he did a survey. What do people need? And he went around, Bethlehem or Jerusalem, that area, just interviewing regular people. What do you really need? Would you like God to give you? And my guess is they would come up with some things maybe similar to us. Like they were under a horrible government. It was a government where they didn't vote for who was in, and if you didn't like who was in, you had to shut up or you could be killed. And King Herod was the king at the time. He had three of his sons killed because he was afraid they were hoping to get the throne from him. So it was not a democracy. It was ugly. It was brutal. In fact, Mary and Joseph, the reason they went to Bethlehem to have Jesus is because they had to sign up to have their taxes taken. You had to go back to your home birthplace. It's not the Hallmark moment we all think it is. So people would probably say, we'd like a really good government where our leaders care more about us than they do themselves. That's a novel thought, but I'm sure a lot of people would have said that. I'm sure there were some people that would say, oh, what would I like God to give me? I'd like to be married. I'd like to be married to someone really good or maybe someone different. I mean, depending on what your answer is. Most people would have probably said, I'd really like to have some financial security. We can take some of this for granted, but they didn't have any pensions. And there's no Social Security. There's no Medicare, Medicaid. People were on their own. And to think that, man, if I knew that I was taken care of, I'd like that. They didn't have the electronic stuff we do, the stuff that we see advertised all the time. But there were basic things that people would have said, boy, if I had that, my life would be good. If I had a better place to live, a place with a roof, if I had a place, if I had more animals. There's this basic things people would want. That's what I need. If God gave me that, I'm good. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. There's nothing wrong with a lot of presents that you're going to be giving or opening tonight or tomorrow. But God saw something that He saw something that a lot of us didn't, because He knew what we really, really needed. And no one was thinking, we need another baby. It wouldn't have crossed anybody's mind. And plus that young couple, they're poor. How are they going to... Do you hear people talk now about having, I can't afford to have a kid. You know how much it's going to cost to have them for 18 years or 30 years or however long? sometimes you can keep them a long time. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't say it at four. But, you know, we have this idea of what we need. We confuse it sometimes with what we want, but God is so much wiser than that. Listen to what it says about Jesus. It says, "And Christ became a human being and lived here on earth among us and was full of loving forgiveness, grace, and truth." All along the way, God had been saying, "You need a Savior." The Jewish people had kept all their rules and regulations related to worship, and all of that was just meant to remind us that there's something we're missing, that there's something broken in us. There's a sin nature that we have, and it needs to be dealt with. And sacrificing lambs or goats or doves wasn't going to cure it. They were symbolic of something God was going to do later on, and Jesus was the embodiment of that symbol. Human nature, though, is weird because we can, if we're honest, we can generally think we're okay. There's some other people that have got problems, but I'm not really that bad. I'm okay. I have a list of people that I think are scum, and I think the world would be better off without them, and we do this comparison thing, and God doesn't fall into that. So what God did at Christmas is he sent a clear message of our need, telling us the truth, but then what he was offering us, and that was grace, loving forgiveness. And I've tried to think of, how do you describe that? Because it's, if you've been in church for a while, or you've been around this, it's just easy to kind of lose the meaning. So there's an illustration I want to use that I think helps. There was a couple, John and Martina Hartman. They had a little daughter, Elizabeth. And they were so happy to have Elizabeth. And as she was developing, they discovered she had an illness that was going to kill her. The only way that she would survive would be a bone marrow transplant. Neither one of the mom or dad were compatible donors. In fact, there was no one. They had talked to the best doctors in the country, and there was only one option, and that was they have another child, and that child would become potentially a marrow donor. They went through a process, and it's called para-implantation genetic diagnosis, where they would take all the embryos, they would figure out the right ones that had the right match. They were basically trying to create and put in an oven the possible match for Elizabeth. And grueling, expensive process, but it was the only thing they had. There was no other option except just to watch their daughter die. When she was 10 years old, she got her baby brother, Michael. And immediately, they were able to do a bone marrow transplant, saved her life. There are some people that would say, well, you're kind of playing God here, aren't you? Or you're having a baby just to take care of another one. And you can look at ethical things and all that. Being a parent, I can understand where they were coming from. But what I want to say in illustration is this. God knew how serious our sin problem is, yours and mine. And he knew there wasn't anything we couldn't do anything to make it better. We couldn't cure ourselves any more than Elizabeth could cure herself. It was going to take a donor. The difference here is the donor was going to have to sacrifice their life. And that's exactly what God did when he sent Jesus. He knew this is all the only hope we had, and he was willing to. And I still don't get this. It's one of my questions when I get to heaven. If I'm pretty sure I'm going to get there. I hope so, based on what Jesus said. I think so. But is this why? When you look at this planet and you look at the people, why would you go to that much trouble for us? We don't deserve it. And I don't know what his answer is going to be, except I'm sure he's going to say, I love you. In spite of the way you are, I love you. And that's why he sent Jesus. And Christ became a human being and lived here on earth among us and was full of loving forgiveness, grace, and truth. Who does that? I can understand the Hartman family doing this for their daughter, and they love Michael and all that kind of stuff. But God was willing to sacrifice his son so you and I could have that donor whose life could take our place so that we could live free and forgiven now and forever. I've been around donors before, people that have donated organs. But they all donated organs that they had a spare of. They could give a slice of a liver, you can give a kidney. They can give bone marrow, you can give blood. But God was willing for his son to die a brutal, horrible death because he cared about you and me. We needed this. And I hear people sometimes say, sin's not that big a deal. And, you know, there's some people that are pretty bad, but most of it, it's don't make such a big deal. In fact, let's not even call stuff sin. Let's just call it a mistake or an error or misunderstanding. And you're free to think that. I'm just going to tell you that our Creator doesn't. He believes that our sinfulness, our self-centeredness, is so serious that he was willing to go to this just amazing length to rescue us. So you can have your own opinion, but I'm just going to say, I think it would be worth thinking about, what is God's opinion here? Because he paid a seriously high price so we could have a brand new life. He tells us the truth, but he also extends grace. When we celebrate Christmas, we get to see this picture of truth and grace in this one little package that grows up to become an adult, tells us, continues to tell us what is true and right, and then willingly surrenders to go to a cross so we could be free and forgiven, have hope. It's the greatest gift that was ever given in all of human history, and the little gifts we give are just kind of a reminder of this great gift. I want to mention one more thing about gifts, because some of us know Jesus. We've accepted him and we follow him, and Christmas should be a time we're just filled with gratitude. God, thank you so much. There are others of us that are aware of it, and you know, Christmas and Easter, we think about it and yay God, but we don't really take it very seriously. I was given this gift card a few years back to a bakery I'm pretty sure doesn't exist anymore. It's been in my desk. I'd look at it every once in a while. I need to go there sometime. They got really good cupcakes. Well, apparently they did. I looked it up and they don't have any more. I had the gift card, but I never got one of the cakes. I never took advantage of the card. I had it. I understood it. It was already paid for. But until I do something with it, it doesn't have any impact on my life. And I think that's for some of us. We understand who Jesus is. We get it mentally, but we haven't surrendered to him. And I just want to encourage you. This Christmas, if you know him, celebrate it. And find a quiet place and just say, God, thank you. And if you don't know him yet, or if some of this seems, I don't know, seems maybe odd or weird, would you at least explore what God said about Jesus? I'm going to read this passage one more time and then we'll pray. And Christ became a human being. He became just like us. And he lived here on earth among us and was full of forgiveness and love, truth and grace, because he came for us. Let me pray. God, this Christmas, it is so good to see friends and family. It's good to have memories and the food and all the different things that we get to do. But help us to not forget what this really represents, and that is you broke into human history. You became one of us so that we could have someone to take our place. God, we love you for that, and we are so, so grateful. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to continue to have a few more songs. I want to mention a couple of things to you. We got a an amazing group of staff and volunteers that have pulled off today. They've been working on it, everything from our tech folks to our worship people, people that have been watching our little ones, security, parking, I mean, you name it. And if you see any of them, I wish you'd tell them thank you. They've given up time to be at CVS shopping for Christmas. Apparently, that's where I do most of my shop. But, I mean, they've carved out time, and I'm so grateful. I'm really glad to be around them. So if you see any of them, if you could thank them. The other thing is we're not having any services on campus next Sunday. Zero. We've already put together a service. There'll be music. There'll be a message, but it's going to be on demand. You can watch it at 9 and 11 if that's your regular habit. You can also watch it anytime you want. But we wanted to give our staff and our volunteers some time away just to enjoy the holidays with their family. So if you show up next Sunday, Merry Christmas. you may not get anything more than that.